Chapter 7. Once the celebrations died down, Headmistress Quinn ordered everyone to assist in restoring Vipera as much as they could. It was a flurry of activity, as everyone chose a different area to work on, but before I offered a helping hand, I wanted to stick to a promise I'd made at the beginning of the fight. Winnie, the young, terrified witch, was nowhere to be seen, and at first I thought she'd died during the battle, which wouldn't have been a huge surprise to me. I'd last seen her in the common room on the first floor, so I started my search there. The common room was a disaster sight. The entire back wall had been blown out, furniture had been destroyed, and a layer of dust covered every surface. There were a few dead bodies slumped against the surviving walls, both a mixture of warlocks and witches, but Winnie wasn't one of them. I assumed she'd left the room during the commotion, and I'd find her somewhere else in the castle. But just as I went to leave, I heard the whisper of a noise coming from the opposite side of the room.
"Is it over?"
a delicate voice asked.
"Where are you?"
I asked with a frown.
"In the wardrobe."
It took a second for me to locate the wardrobe, and then I found it behind a ripped-up couch. The cabinet had been pushed over onto its side, and a large crack ran down one of the oak doors. There were also a large number of holes along one side of the closet, so someone had obviously shot at it, and I assumed it was because they knew someone was inside. I opened the doors without an issue, and then I noticed the small witch curled up in a ball. All I saw was the side of her pale face, and the rest of her blended into the darkness of the hiding space. "It's okay. You can come out now," I said softly, as I held out a hand for the witch to take. Then, as she pulled herself free from her confinements, I saw the small witch was Winnie. Her curly, raven-black hair was a mess, and she had cuts and bruises all over her face, and her body trembled in my hands. But she was alive, which was more than I could say about some of the higher-tiered students.
"Thank you,"
she mumbled with her head close to her chest.
"I didn't want to leave unless it was safe to."
"It's safe," I smiled. "How long have you been in there?"
"Mom, I don't know."
Winnie played with her hands anxiously.
I think I killed someone and I panicked that I saw the wardrobe, so I hid in there."
"You killed someone?"
I think I killed them."
She shrugged.
"He tumbled from the blown-out wall and he never returned, but I can't believe I did that. I'd never killed anyone in my life."
Winnie's icy blue eyes glazed over with tears, but she needed to get over that guilty feeling. I've lost count of how many people I've killed, and how many people have died in front of me. You have to do whatever you can to protect yourself and those around you. Had you not killed that man, then he would have killed you."
"I guess."
"Which reminds me, did someone shoot at the wardrobe while you were in there? Or was it a mess before you climbed inside?"
No. Someone shot at me shortly after I killed that warlock, but I created a barrier to shield myself, and I kept it there until all the commotion died down."
"Hmm. Impressive." I nodded approvingly. Winnie may have been a nervous wreck, and she clearly had an issue with panic and anxiety, but I sensed how intelligent and powerful she was. Hidden deep within her nervous body was a smart little witch who could go far in life. As long as she got over her fear of killing others, then I saw her as someone who held a great amount of potential.
"I should probably help the others clean up. I know they won't be happy I hid, so I should offer some assistance to make amends."
"Fuck them." Winnie's face blushed scarlet, I assumed due to my word choice, which only solidified my original thought that she was as pure and as innocent as they came. It made me wonder if she'd ever cursed in her life, but that quickly led to me thinking about what else she'd done in her past and who'd she'd done it with. She had to be a virgin. I was almost certain of it. But like Winnie said, we needed to assist with the cleanup, and I had my own jobs to complete, including taking Revna to see her sisters again.
"Thank you for coming to look for me,"
Winnie said as I led the innocent witch from the common room.
"And I'm sorry for shooting at you earlier."
"It's not the first time that's happened."
"Well, either way, it wasn't right."
She smiled.
"Hopefully I'll see you again soon, but maybe not, when warlocks are trying to kill us."
"We'll see what happens." I winked.
Then I watched as she ran off in the direction of a few more students who looked her age, and I noticed the small smile Winnie gave me before she left with her friends.
Cole!
Akira called out. My entire coven stood beside the doors to the grand hall, with Headmistress Quinn standing next to them.
What were you doing?
Marina asked as I wandered over.
We've been looking everywhere for you.
I went to locate someone. I shrugged. But Headmistress Quinn, I think you've got some real talent in Winnie.
Miss Winnie.
The headmistress rolled her eyes and let out a laugh.
I'm amazed to see she's still alive. The girl barely takes anything in, and I'm constantly getting complaints from the other professors.
I'd say otherwise. I know talent when I see it, and great things are going to come from that girl.
Oh, yes, you know talent, do you?
Quinn mocked me with a smirk.
Master Cole, just because you had a premonition my school was under attack does not mean you know talent, especially when it comes to the likes of Winnie.
I sensed the anger that seeped from my coven, and it was like a dark cloud covering the sun. I wasn't sure if the headmistress always acted like this, or if she was pissed because her school had practically been demolished, but her arrogance and immaturity could have gotten her into big trouble, especially with the power I held in my fingertips.
You'll soon regret saying that to our Dark Lord,
Vanessa said as she stepped toward Quinn. Calm down, Vanessa, I said with my hand out in front of her. I can handle this.
Of course, Master.
The professor nodded.
Dark Lord, what are you talking about?
Have you ever heard of Lilith, Headmistress? The most potent Wicca of all time?
I... yes?
The older witch said, but it came out as more of a question. Then her eyebrows furrowed, and her lips pursed into a thin line.
She's... well, what does she have to do with this conversation?
It had taken the High Court longer for the memory charm to be reversed, but since Quinn had seen me in the flesh, I wondered if the charm had slowly been dissolving through the entire battle. And now... the memories of my mother were piecing themselves back together in her mind, and it was clearly uncomfortable for her. Do you see a resemblance between her and I? I asked. Quinn was quiet for a moment as she searched my face, so I decided to continue talking. A long time ago, Lilith sacrificed herself to save her son. The Dark Lord had chosen Lilith to birth him into the world, and she died shortly after that. Then the Dark Lord spent time in a realm called Earth until he was ready, and until the Wicca world needed him, and now here he is. I am Lilith's son, and I am Satan reborn. I noticed the smiles and excited looks on my coven, but Quinn frowned as she digested my words. I knew it wasn't a story people would instantly believe, and something as large and as vast as this would take time to understand.
It?
Quinn paused for a second and cocked her head.
It's the strangest thing. I feel as though I've known all along. And I've known you my entire life, but there's a part of me which feels differently.
That'll be the memory charm Headmistress Theodora placed on everyone who knew Lilith. I resurrected my mother. And now the world can know her name again.
And everything you've done. And all the powers you've shown. It's all because of this? Because you are the Dark Lord?
Exactly. I nodded. I realize it's not easy for you to fully understand right now. And I realize I am not Asbeel, the deserter of God. But I am Satan reborn. And should you choose it, you'll be under my power, and you will obey my every word, but you will also have my protection and devotion.
That's also why you can see the talent in Winnie.
Quinn frowned.
I see nothing but a lazy, unfocused witch who cannot even touch a spider, yet you see differently. You see the potential she holds.
I do. There was a tense silence in the group, and all I could hear was the constant clatter as students cleaned up around the castle. Quinn had her eyes focused on the ground, but a thoughtful expression crossed her face. I had a feeling it was going to take time for her to believe my words, but I hoped she would come to her senses soon. I needed stalwart believers in my army, not weaklings ruled by fear. So I would wait to see the bird-like woman prove her worth and loyalty. Headmistress Quinn, it is time for us to go. Think through my words and the story I shared with you. I sense a war brewing on the horizon, and you should believe what I told you, or I will find another headmistress who will.
Is that a threat?
Her eyes opened wide. I am Satan, your master. I own every bit and piece of your soul, which I have been understanding so far. And now I have other things to do. But when I return to you, you'd best be compliant. Understand?
I'm sorry, my lord. There is so much to take in, especially after what's just happened.
Good.
And thank you. I don't think I've shown you my appreciation for everything you've done for my school. Your coven, too, thank you.
There's no need to thank us. I smiled. We simply wish to help out allies in need.
Of course.
She smiled back, but I saw the gears grinding away behind her eyes as she worked to process everything I'd said. Quinn would bow, sooner rather than later, and of her own free will. Then the rest of Vipera would follow and join my army, and I'd have a whole new academy to fill with my seed. And my unholy empire would only continue to grow. But for now, I turned to Revna and noticed the slightly panicked look on her face. It was time to see her sisters, and I didn't think the Wild Witch could last much longer. Now we must go, I told the headmistress. Good luck with the cleaning. Quinn let out a soft laugh, but she never said another word, so I focused on my women instead. I appreciated their performance, and I knew the battle against the warlocks would have been much harder had I not summoned half of them here to help us. But I knew they had other jobs to complete in nearby realms, so I wanted to leave it up to them to decide whether they remained or returned to their assigned groups. Faye, Vesta, Akira, Beatrix, Penelope, and Vanessa, I said as I looked at each witch in turn. Would you like to rejoin your groups in the other realms? I understand the assignment is important to all of you, so I would like you to decide whether you stay or go. No one said a word for a few seconds, and I noticed the thoughtful looks in their eyes as they decided what to do.
Master.
Vesta broke the silence a moment later.
If it's okay with you, Revna is like a sister to us, and I think I speak for all of us when I say we'd prefer to stay with you and support Revna.
Every woman in the group smiled sweetly, and I noticed how touched Revna looked that the coven wanted to support her as much as they could. Very well. I nodded. In that case, everyone, form a circle. Once the circle had been made, I closed my eyes and allowed my mind to transport us away from Vipera. The purple mist swarmed around me in clouds as my body tumbled and flipped through the air. I kept the image of Revna's old home firmly in my mind as we continued to travel, and I didn't open my eyes again until my feet had landed firmly in a pile of fresh white snow. The world around us was darker and more dreary than any others I'd been to. The sky was dark gray, the spiked mountains towered high in the distance, and the only noise came from the grunts and groans as some of my women picked themselves up from the snow.
I don't think I'll ever get used to how cold it is here,
Nyx said as she wrapped her arms around her front. Akira added with chattering teeth.
I'm so cold. Oh, stop complaining.
Vanessa sighed. The professor snapped her fingers, and a lilac-colored mist automatically formed around us. Then I felt the warm presence of clothing as it morphed against my body, and once the cloud lifted, I noticed my robe had been swapped out for a thicker, warmer cloak. My boots had changed into a sturdier pair, fit for the weather, and a pair of woolen gloves covered my hands. All the women received the same clothing, but their tights had also changed into a warmer pair. Would you like to lead us in? I asked Revna. After all, it's probably better if they see you first.
Yeah, I don't want arrows aimed at my head again.
Circe scoffed, and her forked tongue slid out of her mouth in distaste.
My sisters won't cause any trouble,
Revna said with a confident expression.
I know they've longed for me to return for a while, so I highly doubt that they'll stop us. Then let's go, before I freeze to death.
Penelope shivered, and her pale pink lips were already turning blue around the edges. We made our way toward a high peak in the distance, and I knew Revna's secret village hid just behind it. The ice and snow crunched and broke beneath our feet, but that was the only noise I could hear. Not a single bird was seen in the sky, and even the harsh wind was silent as it whipped around my head. The journey to the village seemed to take longer than last time, but I assumed that was because we didn't have feral women shooting at us with arrows. However, just as I had that thought, Revna came to a halt, and she held out her hand for us all to follow her directions.
"Careful. I can see my sisters up there, but I need to make sure they know who I am. But you said there won't be any trouble."
Akira huffed with her hands stuck in her armpits.
"How do you know your sisters won't shoot? Shush!"
the feral goddess demanded as she focused on the icy peak.
"They need to see who I am."
Revna stood in silence for another minute, and she then slowly began to move forward.
"Freya!"
she shouted, and her voice echoed in the air.
"Astrid!"
The two blonde figures at the top of the peak instantly reacted to the noise, and they turned in haste to find out where the shouting was coming from. Then, as they spotted us approaching, the two sisters reached for their bows and quivers.
"No, stop! It's me! It's Revna!"
"Sister, is that truly you?"
one of the feral women asked.
"Yes, it's me! I've returned with my friends! Can you please allow us to enter?"
The two sisters put their heads together to discuss something, but we were too far away to catch any of it. We stopped walking once we reached the bottom of the hill, and then we looked up toward the two sisters as we awaited their response.
"How can we trust you are who you say you are?"
the younger of the two asked.
"Mastrid, please ask me anything, anything that only I would know the answer to. I'll prove it to you."
There was another brief silence as the sisters conversed again, and then the eldest one, who I assumed was Freya, began to talk.
"Our mother once told us a secret about a father, and she told us never to tell a soul. What was that secret?"
"Correction. She told us two secrets."
Revna smirked.
"The first was father is the brightest star in the night sky, and the second was he would create the biggest snowstorm if we didn't behave and play nicely."
Even from the distance between us, I could still see the smiles that crossed the sisters' faces.
"Come, sister."
Freya motioned us with her hand.
"And bring your friends with you."
The sisters then turned on their heels, and we wandered further through the mountainsides to reach their hidden village.
"Why did your mother tell you those secrets?"
Vesta asked with an interested glint in her silver eyes.
"Was your father really so powerful?"
"No, we were just very young when our father died. My mother had difficulty raising all three of us, so she made up those secrets. But the catch was we weren't allowed to tell anyone, otherwise our father would hear about it and he'd make sure the snowstorm lasted for days."
That was smart thinking.
"It worked."
Revna shrugged.
"It wasn't until after my mother passed I found out the truth. I was just a child at the time, and Sigrid had been caring for us since then."
"She really is family to you three, then?"
"Absolutely."
The blonde-haired beauty nodded.
"It has been strange not having them with me every day, but I couldn't imagine myself leaving our coven behind now." "You can't anyway, especially with the blood pact."
Akira snorted. As we turned the final corner of the mountain, I noticed the two sisters standing beside the two grand doors, which separated us from the village.
"Revna."
Astrid smiled as she closed the distance between her and her sister.
"It's been so long."
Freya followed on behind, and soon the three of them wrapped their arms around each other, and they were nothing but a mess of blonde hair, furry cloaks, and woolen tunics.
"What's brought you all here?"
Freya asked as they broke apart.
"A lot, but mostly because I had to see that you were safe. There have been battles among many of the realms, and I feared someone may have come here too. Come inside,"
Astrid said as she linked her arm with Revna's.
"We can discuss it all where it's warm."
"Good."
Nyx whispered, and the already blue witch's skin was several shades darker than usual.
"I'm fucking freezing."
Astrid knocked loudly on one of the doors, and then we all slipped inside the noisy village once they'd opened. Unlike the rest of this mysterious realm, joyous laughter ran throughout the village, as well as the incredible scent of spiced meat. It was an incredibly relaxed atmosphere, and it made me wonder if they knew of the terror happening elsewhere. I was pleased to see it didn't look as if these women had faced any trouble recently, so at least that was comforting for Revna. Although she'd been keen to leave her village, her sisters and Sigrid were important to her, and they always would be.
Where's Sigrid? I hope I get to see her too.
She's had to travel somewhere, but she'll return in the morning. Will you still be here in the morning?
Revna looked over at me for an answer. I don't see why not. I shrugged, especially with what I had planned. My women weren't going anywhere for a while. The two sisters took us into a hut where we had some peace to talk. A fire was lit in the corner, and a table sat in the center with a fine selection of meat and other foods placed from one end to the other. There were bowls filled to the brim with something that looked like purple mashed potatoes, silver platters with neatly decorated salads, jugs of various sauces, and even a spit-roasted animal which took center stage. At first I thought the animal was a pig, but then I noticed the tiny little horns that curled from the animal's forehead, and it didn't have trotters. In fact, the animal looked to have paws, somewhat like a small cat. It may not have been a delicacy I'd ever come across before, but I didn't care as long as it tasted good. The cooked meat of the interesting animal was dark brown, and the grease and juices glistened as they rolled down the meat and collected in a small tray underneath. I noticed small chunks of bread sitting in a bowl beside the tray of grease, so I assumed I was meant to dunk the bread into it.
Help yourselves.
Astrid motioned toward the food.
The ice and snow can easily steal your energy, so it's best to fill yourselves up.
None of us had to be told twice, and it wasn't long before we all sat with plates piled high with mountains of food. Although I'd never seen some of the food before, I was pleasantly surprised to realize it tasted pretty good. The purple mashed potatoes were fluffy and creamy, but there was a hint of spice mixed in with them. There was also a thick, blue, jam-like paste, which was so sweet that it made my teeth hurt, but it became the perfect condiment when it was mixed with the meat and vegetables. But the star of the show was the spit-roasted animal. The meat looked tough, but it completely fell apart when I pierced it with my fork. The outer layer was crunchy and salty, but the main body of the meat was moist and sweet. I'd never had anything like it, but at the same time it felt like I'd been eating it throughout my entire existence. "What is this?" I asked as I took another bite of the meat.
"Tracker,"
Astrid said with a smile.
"They're essentially our equivalent of a piglet. It's the most expensive piece of meat to sell or buy. So it's a real treat when we have it on the table." "Tracker?"
Akira frowned.
"Is that actually its name?" "Well, no. Its real name is an Igbener, but we all call them trackers from the way they track and hunt their prey. But we only eat the baby ones,"
Revna said with a devilish grin.
"They hold the most flavor, and they lose their sweetness the older they get. Oh, and be sure to mop up the juices with the bread. It's something you'll never experience again outside of this realm."
I could tell the other women were slightly unsure about trying the greasy, fat-laced juices, so I tried it for them. I picked a chunk of bread from the tray and dipped it into the concoction. The juices stained the bread yellow, and they soaked up into the bread like a sponge. I was surprised to see some green herbs floating in the juice, but the scent that hit my nose really took me by surprise. I'd imagined it would smell salty, like the outer coating of the meat, but the scent was sweet, spicy, and almost acidic. It was the strangest mix of flavors, but not in a bad way.
"Trust me, Master. You're going to love it."
Revna grinned. I stopped inspecting the damp bread and threw the entire piece into my mouth before I could think about it some more. It took a second for the flavors to come through, but then it was almost like a firework exploded in my mouth. The sweet notes hit my taste buds first, and it had an almost maple taste to it. But once the sweet flavor had died down, it was replaced with something like a hot chili pepper. I was sure the expressions were clear on my face as the different flavors assaulted my tongue, but it was difficult to keep a straight face with the constant changes in my mouth. I hadn't tasted maple or chili when I ate the meat, so I wasn't sure if the bread brought those added components, but it definitely wasn't an unpleasant experience. A few of the other women dunked their own pieces of bread, but the others weren't as keen. Revna and her sisters sat and laughed the entire time, so I assumed it wasn't the first time they'd seen someone react the way I had. Once the meat and vegetables had been enjoyed, a group of women cleared the table and then brought out a spread of fine desserts. I spotted some fruit, a yellow cake, cream, a brown pudding-like substance, which I assumed was chocolate, and some pastries dusted in powdered sugar. We were all much more eager to try the desserts, and we tried at least one of everything. The yellow cake was dry, but according to Astrid, you have to eat it with the cream to bring out the cake's full potential. The pudding-like dessert was chocolate, but it was bitter and sharp, and the pastries were buttery, light, and practically dissolved on my tongue. As well as the food, the sisters constantly filled up our goblets with a luxurious red wine, and I spotted the glazed look in Nick's and Akira's eyes as they downed glass after glass.
I could get used to this food. I could get used to this wine.
Nix said seconds before she hiccuped. The entire table broke out into laughter, and the more that Nix hiccuped, the more our laughter grew. It really felt like the sort of evening we needed after the days we'd experienced, and I was glad for the brief distraction from real life. But that didn't last forever, and the real reason for our visit became clear once the final course had been cleared from the table.
So, what's going on? You said there was a battle somewhere?
Yes.
Revna nodded.
We've just come from my Pyrrha Academy. A group of Vorlocks had charged the school, and they brought Slantars with them. We're unsure of the reason behind the attack, which is why I wanted to check on you, in case someone came here too. Well, you know how high the security is around here.
Astrid shrugged.
No one can get in without a fight, and even then, they don't often get very far.
But you didn't see the battle. If it wasn't for our Dark Lord, we all would have died.
Dark Lord.
Freya frowned. Revna clearly hadn't realized what she'd called me, and her eyes went wide as her oldest sister questioned her words.
Oh, fuck. Master, I apologize. I didn't think...
I didn't know why it was a big deal for Revna, because I didn't care. In fact, it only made it easier to tell them the truth. Please, do not apologize. Tell your sisters about me. I want them to know.
What's going on?
Astrid queried as she looked between her sister and me.
Why are you calling him Master Sister?
Cole is the Dark Lord.
Revna answered, and she raised her chin high as she looked at her sisters dead in the eyes.
He is Satan reborn, and he has been my master since the moment I left with them.
Okay, sure. Why don't you tell us the real reason?
I am! Oh, dear little sister.
Freya said with a sweet smile.
You've always had a wild mind, but things have escalated since you left home. You've created this wonderful world for yourself, but it's time to stop playing games now.
I'm not playing games! Everyone here can vouch for me. And you say I've always had a wild imagination, but have I really? Honestly, when was the last time I've come up with a fantasy world in my mind?
The sisters looked around at everyone at the table, and we all smiled and nodded as a way of saying Revna spoke the truth. But the little sister didn't give up, and she continued to help Astrid and Freya believe the truth.
Cole resurrected his mother straight from her grave, and he single-handedly took down 30 Slantars,
Revna said with a radiant smile.
When have you ever heard of someone taking down one Slantar, let alone 30? Come on, sisters, you know me, I'm speaking the truth.
I can vouch for Revna. Cole has always been incredibly powerful, and we never understood why until now.
But the master thing...
Astrid frowned.
It's so strange. You've never called anyone master in your life.
That's because he is. Cole created the blood pact which we're all a part of. He is our master and we obey his every word. We're all immortal as long as Cole is alive and flesh wounds no longer affect us like they used to. Look, I'll show you.
No! Don't be stupid, little sister!
But Revna ignored Freya and reached for a knife that remained on the table. She gave Freya and Astrid a smirk, and then she opened out her palm and sliced the tip of the knife across her hand. Red blood bubbled at the opening of the wound, and the thicker the wound became, the more blood became pooled in her palm.
Now watch closely.
Freya and Astrid both stood from their seats to get a better look as the skin of their sister's palm began to stitch back together, and soon all that was left was a puddle of drying blood.
I don't believe it.
Mother was so certain only the most powerful Vikas could create a blood pact that is strong and as mighty as that. Cole was a preschooler when he created it, too.
Revna said with a smirk.
Do you believe me now? Cole is the Dark Lord Satan, and this is why he can accomplish so much.
Both sisters were silent as they absorbed Revna's words, and I could see the process in their minds as they took it all in. Freya frowned as she stared around the room with her deep blue eyes, but then they widened as she understood everything. The same process occurred with Astrid, and it looked as though both sisters came to the conclusion at the same time.
Unholy shit! How is that possible?
I knew you were powerful, but I never knew how far that talent went.
Freya added. Revna looked at me, as if she wanted me to tell the rest of the story, but I gave her a gentle nod, as a silent way of telling her to go ahead. I also thought her sisters would believe her words more than they'd believe mine. After all, the sisters had only met me once before this.
The Dark Lord chose a powerful Vika to be his vessel into the world. It wasn't until recently we all found out who he was, and Cole himself only learned of his past at the same time we did.
Then she went on to detail a few more of my exploits in our war against the Elders and my rise to power. And the whole time, Revna's features were animated with pure devotion and exhilaration. When she was done, Astrid and Freya were silent once more. But then a look of pure adoration appeared on Astrid's face.
I cannot believe you've been with the Dark One this entire time.
Astrid smiled.
Imagine what Mother and Father would think if they knew you lived with and served him directly. I wish they were here to see for themselves. But I know Mother and Father are always watching.
Freya smiled sadly. A thought ran through my mind as the sisters remembered their parents. I was interested in growing my group as much as I could, and I knew it would please Revna greatly if she managed to leave this hidden village with her sisters by her side. Revna doesn't have to be the only one, I said as I interrupted their conversation. I am looking to increase the numbers of my army. And there is space for you, too, if you'd like to join us. I didn't want Astrid and Freya to feel forced to join us, and I understood that they had a life here, which they enjoyed, but I hoped they took me up on the offer.
You mean you'd allow us to come with you?
Astrid finished off the question with wide eyes and a slack jaw. Of course you can. I smiled.
Oh, my lord.
Freya said as she fell to her knees.
I cannot explain what a privilege this is. We've imagined what our Dark Lord looks like all our lives. Now here you are in the flesh. Words cannot describe how I'm feeling right now.
Astrid joined her sister on the floor, and they both bowed their heads slightly.
I think we can come up with a few words. It still doesn't feel real sometimes, even after all this time.
So, does that mean you accept my offer?
Oh, yes.
Freya said as her back shot up straight.
Absolutely, yes, Dark One. It's the easiest decision I think we've ever made.
Astrid laughed. Perfect. In which case, I say we get some rest, because the celebrations will start first thing in the morning.